This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further along in the Psalter with Psalms 56 through 58. I put my trust in you. What can man do to me? Let your glory be over all the earth. Your steadfast love is great and estranged from birth. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
A reading from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
You shall have no
other.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Small Catechism, page 325. What does baptizing with such water indicate?
It indicates that the old Adam and us, which by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die of all sins and evil desires, and that the new man should daily emerge from us to live before God in righteousness and purity forever.
Where is this written?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
What does it mean to be born again? Is it a special moment in the life of a Christian where you experience, you feel in a powerful personal and emotional way the message of God's sin and grace? Well, a lot of Christians think so. And they can point to specific moments where that resonated. Life-changing, life-transforming experiences. Now, I don't intend to demean anybody's experience. We all have them. It's part of being a person. And sometimes those experiences are very meaningful, very powerful. Martin Luther, you know, talked about being born again in connection with his tower experience, when he discovered justification by faith alone. I mean, that was a life-changing experience for him. But when we look at what the Bible says, how it uses the term born again, well, we find that it goes back to Jesus himself. In answer to his nighttime Pharisee visitor Nicodemus, who wanted to know how to get into the kingdom of God, Jesus said, you have to be born again. And then he went on to explain, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter God's kingdom. Water and the Spirit. That's baptism. Baptism is being born again. And that's just what Paul explained to Titus when he wrote, God saved us through the washing of being born again and being made new again by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So baptism brings, or maybe better, is the rebirth. Well, okay, you've heard that before. So now let's go a step further. What does that mean, being born again, being made new again? What does that mean? Well, for one thing, and this is the main thing, as we learn from this morning's scripture reading, to be born again in baptism means to be in a new and right relationship with God through the saving work of Jesus Christ. A new and right relationship. But that's a relationship that begins with a death. You got to get rid of the old. It has to go. It has to die. And that's what Paul explains actually happens in baptism. In baptism, we die and are buried in the death and burial of Jesus Christ. And that means sin is forgiven. Sin is gone for the sake of Christ. Now, that's good news. I mean, that's the best news possible. And yet it doesn't stop there. For we not only die in Jesus, we also live in Jesus. Again, quoting the text, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. So being born again also means that we live differently. We act differently. We live not like the old, but in the new, in this new relationship, this new identity that we have as the children of God. Now, I think that it is sometimes easy for us to just kind of skip over this walking in newness of life part. I mean, after all, the gifts of baptism are just so wonderful, so stunning, so overwhelming. They point us not only to forgiveness for our past sins, but also to our final resurrection at the end of time. And that's almost kind of enough for us to think about. But it's worth noting that in the New Testament, it's often the case that this being born again idea is really connected with Christian living in the here and the now. St. John, in his first epistle, he mentions being born of God 6 times, and 5 of those times have to do with Christian living. As for example, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Or this, whoever loves has been born of God. And then two in the small catechism, not only the Romans 6 passage, but also the Titus 3 passage, connects baptismal regeneration, being born again, being born anew by the Spirit, with Christian living. Paul tells Titus to remind his people that however much they have been slaves to various passions and pleasures, now they should be ready for every good work. But why? Because God has saved them according to his mercy and has made them new in baptism. Therefore, Titus should insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. It's the Holy Spirit, then, who has tied good works to baptism with a permanent knot. New birth, new life, new works. But if the knot is permanent, why are we always trying to untie it? As Paul reminds us in Romans 6 again, we are always tempted to take sin lightly. Let's keep on sinning so that grace may abound. After all, Christ died for those sins. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. So if we sin just a little bit, who cares? If we sin quite a lot, who cares? Your sins are gone. They're forgiven. That's it. No need to worry. Well, kind of. But we are drawing the wrong conclusion. True, our old self, our pre-baptism self, that's been crucified with Christ. Our Lord has taken all of our sins, crucified them to the cross in his body. They are gone. They are gone. No need to worry. But that is not the same thing as a get-out-of-jail-free card for a life of sinning. After all, just think about this. Jesus died to free us from our sins, not to free us for our sins. He died once, yes, but he didn't stay dead, did he? He arose to a new life, no longer under the burden of sin that he had assumed for our sakes. No, a new life, exalted on high at the right hand of the Father, a new life. And we have been baptized into the saving work of Christ, both his death and his resurrection. So the death of the old man is really just the first part of baptism. There is also the new man, a resurrected self that is dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. In our baptism, we both die to sin and rise again to new life. So the Christian life does not ignore sin. It doesn't indulge sin. It doesn't make excuses for sin. It fights sin. And if you don't want the second part of baptism, you won't hold on to the first part either. Rejecting the walking in newness of life is not only rejecting baptism, it's also rejecting Jesus Christ. So when we sin, and we do, we need to be contrite and repent and rise again, forgiven and committed to walking in the newness of life. No wonder then that Luther urges us to remember our baptism every day. For it turns out that we need our baptism every day, drowning the old man and rising again of the new. After all, we are still in the world. The devil still roars, and our old sinful flesh keeps raising its old ugly head. So dying and rising, dying and rising, again and again, that's the story of the Christian life. But it's not the end of the story. The end of the story comes when God completely and finally answers our petition, deliver us from evil. And he takes us from this veil of tears into that life for which our baptism has supremely prepared us. For it is life with Christ, dead, yes, but risen again. So there you have it. Baptism, a one-time act in the life of every Christian, just once, but it encompasses virtually everything. For there in baptism, in the water and the word, there's the entire package of the Christian life. Sin, forgiveness, God's gift, our response, faith, love, death, resurrection, united with Christ forever. Baptism. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ and your Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties in life may be easy. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.